Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing, of course, our study of this, the great book, the book of Hebrews. We're seeing really a famous, one of the probably most famous chapters in the Bible. It's called the Faith Chapter, the Hall of Fame of Faith. The writer, whoever it is, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but the writer is writing to remind these Jewish believers how that in the past, men and women took God at His word, and they lived by faith, trusting God in the events of their lives. And by faith, they trusted God. And so the goal, of course, is that these believers would do the same thing, because we know that they had turned away from God. They weren't trusting God. And so we find out that here's the goal, that these believers would do the same thing. Now, our ultimate plan and our ultimate application is that we would walk by faith. That as we look at this chapter, as we go through it and we study it, and we see these men and women who believed God and trusted Him, that we'll do the same thing, that we'll trust Him as we go through life. We realize faith is an important subject. You think about it, it's the basis for our relationship and our fellowship with God. It's the basis for our relationship. That's salvation. Salvation comes by faith, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. Our fellowship, our Christian life, is maintained by faith. Colossians 2:6, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Him by faith. He says, so walk in Him. Well, this evening we're going to continue seeing faith in action. And as we go down the hall of fame of faith in these weeks to come, as we look at the different events, and we see men and women who took God at His word, who believed God, and by faith they lived. Well, this evening, famous guy, his name is Abel, and he offered what I call the sacrifice of faith. We'll see how it goes. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great night. Thank you for each one that is here, Lord. What a great time we have as we come together and we sing and we pray and we study the Bible. It's just a great night. Thank you for the meal that you provided for us and all those who fixed it and handed it out and cleaned it up, and just the fact that we can come on a Wednesday night and have a meal and do that. Lord, we thank you that as we gather together tonight, that you would teach us as we look at Hebrews 11, as we think about faith. Lord, we just realize that the way to please you is to walk by faith, is to live by faith. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we ask you that as we look at Hebrews 11, you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we approach God? I mean, He is the perfect, righteous God, and we are sinful, fallen human beings. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We owe God death. What do we have to offer God? The answer is nothing. But God has a plan for us. He so loved the world that we know in John 3:16, God loved the world. God gave His Son. He sent His only begotten Son in this world to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, to rise again, to do that for us. He is the final sacrifice for sin forever. And we realize Jesus became our substitute. He died in our place. His blood was shed. God tells us that we can come to Him through His Son. We've talked about the story of the Bible, and if you've ever been in my 2-2 class, you know this. The story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. How do we come to God? We come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on the cross. He is the one who shed His blood. And that's a key, and we're going to talk about it tonight. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. We realize that the only way that we can approach God is on the basis of faith, coming to God by the blood sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now think about that. The only way that we could ever come to God was not by our goodness, not by our works, not by what we do, not what we hope to do, those kind of things, but only through the Son, Jesus Christ, and only based on the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, paid for sin, shed His blood for us as the payment for our sins. As we study our passage this evening, the book of Hebrews, we're going to see a man who in the past approached God by faith with a blood sacrifice. That man was Abel. And the sacrifice, and this sacrifice that we'll see tonight, as did all sacrifices in the Old Testament, they really pointed to the one who was going to come. They pointed to the one who is going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the final sacrifice for sin. So this evening we're going to see Abel approaching God with his blood sacrifice coming by faith. There's a lot there. Let's begin. Let's start putting it together. We want to break down the study. Freddie, if you'll just throw the outline for the book of Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll just throw that up there. Hebrews chapter 11, what we did, we started by looking at faith, because I think it's a key, and I may even mention a couple of the things in a minute, but we looked at the definition of faith, the New Testament words for faith, four keys of faith, and then we started talking about the importance of faith, and that was verses 1 and 2, and it talked about faith, and then we began seeing faith in action, and the very first thing was last week when we went to verse 3. It says, by faith we believe God created the world just by speaking, and he took and made the world out of things that were not in existence. So he just made it out of nothing. And then if you notice, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at Abel tonight, and then Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents, of course. And then as we continue, we got the nation of Israel. Go back for just slide back there for just a second. Can you go? Okay. Parents of Moses. I think they've got Moses listed in there as well, and in the nation of Israel and in some other places as well. And we're going to go through it as we go through this chapter. Now, let me remind you, we said that faith was actually taking God at His word. That's what faith is. You believe the word of God. You believe that when He makes a promise, when He makes a statement, when He says, by grace you're saved through faith, it, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, you'd say, well, I'm saved by faith in Christ. It's not what I do. We take God at His word. Living by faith is taking the truths and principles revealed in God's word and applying them in our lives, which is pleasing to God. Now, that's a key. It's pleasing to God. We looked at four keys of faith. I'm going to go over them very quickly because we mentioned them last week. But the four keys of faith are, number one, faith always has an object. There is always something to believe. Number two, the object of our faith is the word of God. So faith always has an object. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. And number two, the object of our faith is the scripture, is the word of God. The third thing that we said is, it's not the quality or the quantity of our faith, but the object of our faith that is important. We can sincerely believe in Buddha, but that's not going to get us to heaven. We can put all of our faith in Buddha or ourselves, and that's not going to get us to heaven. It's the object of our faith, which is the key. And then the fourth thing, by faith we please God. We looked last time at chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. We saw a description of faith, things that are unseen, is really taking things that are unseen as if they were seen. And we talked about past and future. We talked about the past. We haven't seen Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. He tells us to believe in Him and we'll have eternal life. But none of us were there. We didn't see Him. We didn't see Him die on the cross. We didn't see Him rise again. By faith, we believe that happened. In the future, when He says, I'm going to come get you, He's going to raise the dead, we're going to be with Him forever, that's by faith. We believe that is going to happen. That's what faith is. Then we looked, of course, at verse 3, where it talked about, by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. I mean, the bottom line is that the whole world was created by the spoken word of God. And if you go back to Genesis, and it'll say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said. And that's really it. God spoke it all into being. Genesis chapter 6 talked about, Genesis, we saw the 6 days. Genesis chapter 1, we saw the 6 days of creation. God speaking it all into being. And you know what? The bottom line is either you believe that or you don't. Either you believe that God spoke everything into being or you don't. Because this passage says, by faith, we understand, because none of us were there, nobody was there, by faith, we understand the worlds and the ages were prepared by the word of God. Now, by faith, you either say, that's what I believe, or I don't. That's how it is. Now, from there, we're going to move to a man. Notice verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now, that's kind of a long verse, isn't it? And so we'll spend tonight on verse 4. Now, we'll see some other places because we want to put it together. But we're going to see a man who was one of the sons of Adam and Eve. One of the sons of Adam and Eve. I want you to understand that when people look at the Bible and they say, how many children did Adam and Eve have? How many did they have? Most people say 2, maybe 3. There's no telling how many they had. They might have had 100, 200. Listen, they lived 900-something years. I mean, you can have a lot of babies in, 600 or 700 years, right? There's no telling how many children they had, but we have recorded a man named Cain, a man named Abel, and a man named Seth. We have those recorded because there's some information that we see about those. We're going to meet a man named Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. The writer of Hebrews is taking people sort of in their order, and so he's going to start with this man. We see him, we call this the sacrifice of faith. We see what Abel did and how it fits and how we can make application and how we can approach God. I think, Freddie, we have an outline just on this one little verse. Let's see if you can throw that up there. I just want you to see it. The sacrifice of Abel is Hebrews 11:4. There's three things in the verse that we just read. One is Abel has a better sacrifice. That's 11:4a, as you call it. And then we're going to see the sacrifice shows his righteousness. That's part of the verse. And then the last part of the verse is the message still proclaimed. Even though he's dead, he still speaks. And we'll talk about what he speaks about even though he's dead. So let's see the sacrifice of faith. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel. Notice he takes God at his word. Now, we see, notice what it says. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, we'll just start with that. We see that Abel is described as the one who came to God by faith, because that's how it starts, by faith. And if you remember, we mentioned last week that if you look through the book of Hebrews, or chapter 11, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. You go on, by verse 11, by faith even Sarah. You get a little further down, and it says, by faith Abraham in 17. By faith Isaac in 20. By faith, 21 is Jacob. By faith, in verse 22 is Joseph. By faith, verse 23 is Moses and his family. And it just goes on and on. And so the key is by faith. Now, would God say about me or about you that we live by faith? That he would say, by faith, JB did something. This is a walk of faith. This is what we do. And so here's what he says. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, we know Abel is one of the sons of Adam and Eve. You go back to Genesis, remind who he is. Notice what it says. Offered to God a better sacrifice. Now, offering literally means an act of worship. The word offering there was something that is brought to God. Offering was a present, something that was bring. Notice, by offered to God. He didn't bring it to his parents. He brought a sacrifice to God. And notice how it says it. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. Now, we're going to see it's a better sacrifice than Cain's, but let's talk about it. What is a sacrifice anyway? He calls it a better sacrifice. You know, if you know sports, especially baseball, the guy says he did a sacrifice fly or a sacrifice bunt. That was where you get yourself out. You sacrifice yourself to help your team. Well, a sacrifice is when you give up something. And he gave this sacrifice. You know, it's an amazing thing. If you go out through the Old Testament, any time a person offered a sacrifice, it couldn't be the worst thing. If you were supposed to offer an animal, you didn't go out and go, let me find that, that little runt thing over here. Yeah, that's the one with the bad leg. I'll just go offer this one as a sacrifice to God. You couldn't offer the bad one. You had to offer your best one. You had to offer you something that cost you. That's what a sacrifice is. And so it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. Better than who? Better than Cain. Now, who was Cain? Which older brother, younger brother? No, they weren't twins. It was what? It was older brother. Yeah, Cain was born first, and then Abel, and then Seth. He was the firstborn of Adam and Eve, the first baby ever born. And you know, when that baby was born, and somebody said, they said, I've never seen a baby look like this. They were exactly right. There'd never been a baby that looked like that. There'd never been a baby. Okay? It says that Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. What in the world is going on? Well, we need to see it. So let's go back to Genesis 4. Flip on back all the way to almost the very front of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to see what happens. It'll take you just a second to get back there. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I'd never read the Bible before. I'd never had a Bible before, and that brought me a Bible. And as you know, you start where? Where do you start when somebody gives you a book? You start at the very beginning. And so that's the first thing I ever read in my life in the Bible was Genesis 1:1. I don't remember reading anything else. If I did, I sure didn't know it. But, you know, I thought it was great. Genesis chapter 4. Let's see what happens. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Now, if you remember, and I know you've studied this, that God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, told them they could eat for anything they wanted to, if anything, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that they ate from that, they would die. That literally it says, die and you will surely die. That's what he told them. Now, there was nothing wrong with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, except the fact that God told them not to eat from it. That's what made it wrong. And it was a tree by which they would learn right from wrong. That's why it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's how you learn good and evil, how you learn right from wrong. They were to learn right from wrong by doing right. They ended up learning right from wrong by doing wrong. So we see that they fail. They sinned, they ran away, God came and got them, brought them back, basically provided for them, and even told them that he would provide a redeemer. The seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent, and then he gave them, if you remember, he gave them an illustration. He did something for them. What did he do? Do you remember? They had put these fig leaves on to cover up their sin, and what did he do for them? He did what? He killed an animal and did what? And made coats of skin for them. And in their minds, right there, they saw that an animal died in their place. Their sin resulted in an animal's death. The wages of sin is death. It's always death. And so they realized that that animal became their substitute. And it was a picture. It was a foreshadow, because one day there was going to be a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Savior, the seed of woman who was going to crush the head of the serpent. And so there has to be a sacrifice. And God gave them a picture. And he said, when you come to me and when you worship me, I want you to bring to me a sacrifice. Symbolic of the one day I will give to you a sacrifice that will save you. That's the plan. Now, we know after that, verse 4, chapter 4 starts, and it says, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, now, what did God promise them? The seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. Do you know when this baby was born, she probably said, this is it. God didn't say it'd be thousands of years later. He didn't say anything about that. He just said, I'm going to give the seed of woman. They probably thought, this is it. Look what she says. I've gotten a man child, the special one with the help of the Lord. This is the one. That's probably what she thought. It wasn't. She may have thought this was the baby. This was the one that God had told him. The seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. She's going to find out that he is not a perfect son of God. Well, look what happened. Verse 2. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. So now they got two kids, or at least that's the two that are mentioned. And Abel was the keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel kept the flocks. He was a shepherd. Cain was a tiller of the ground. What was he? Farmer. Farmer and a shepherd. Two brothers. Was that okay to do those two jobs? They're fine. The best we can tell. Anything wrong with any of that? No, they're fine. Verse 3. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. Now, I read that together just so you could see. Now, verse 3 starts in a strange way. It says, it came about in the course of time. Literally in the Hebrew, it says, at the end of the days. That was a way for saying, at the end of the week, at the end of the days. Remember, there's this pattern already set up. There's 6 days and a rest. 6 days and a rest. The first time that people talked about working 6 days and resting on the seventh wasn't under the Mosaic law. It was a pattern set up that God showed all the way from the creation. And when it says at the end of days, it was most likely that they had worked, and then at the end of days was a time that they were going to worship God. End of the week. And look what happened. And so it came about in the course of time, at the end of the days, that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Now we need to think about an offering, because an offering is an act of worship. That's what it really is. It's what it's supposed to be. He's bringing something to God. He's bringing a sacrifice to God. That's what he's bringing. He brought an offering of the Lord, the fruit of the ground. Before we go further, why would they need to bring a sacrifice or an offering to God? It's an act of what? It's an act of worship. They're approaching God. Now, God told them, when you come to me, when you approach me, how do you approach me? Because he's already shown Adam and Eve. How do you approach him? You have to approach him with a what? A sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? What did God do? He killed an animal and blood was shed. It seems to me that God gave them the picture that if you want to approach me, you have to approach me how? through a blood sacrifice. If you want to approach God, if you ever want to have any kind of relationship with God, how do you come to God? It's in through Christ. And what did he do? He died on the cross and shed his blood. The only way you're going to approach God ever is through a blood sacrifice. So here's a little problem. We don't see a problem yet, but it says it came about in the course of time. At the end of the days, and Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. God had already told them that, how do you approach me? The way to approach God is on the basis of sacrifice. The substitute of an animal, blood was shed. Cain brought fruit. Nothing is said at this point. We already know from the book of Hebrews, if you back over to chapter 11, you don't turn there, but verse 4, it says that Abel brought a what type of sacrifice than Cain? What is it, Kirby? A better sacrifice. Why do you think that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's? It was a blood sacrifice. Let's see. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstling of his flock and their fat portions. He's bringing an animal sacrifice. And you know what? It wasn't like the one with the bad leg. It was the first of his flock, the best of his flock. He's bringing the best one. By faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain. How? Why? Because Abel brought a blood sacrifice to God, symbolic of the way you approach God. And Cain is not bringing a blood sacrifice. He's bringing a turnip. And you can't get blood out of a turnip, right? Okay, now watch. On his part, Abel brought the firstling of a flock into the fat portions. Now look at the end of verse 4. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. The word regard in Hebrew means to look on with favor. When Abel brought the animal that he had killed and gave it to God, God said, good job. I find favor with that. That's what you should bring. That's what you should do. That's how you come before me. That's how you worship me. But look at verse 5. There's a contrast. In the verse 4, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. Literally, there was no favor. Why? What seems to be the problem? Abel brings something, it's okay. Cain brings something, it's not okay. Well, what is the problem? One is a blood sacrifice. It's an animal. It's symbolic of the picture that God had shown them at the very beginning. How can you approach me? You approach me through the blood sacrifice. The other is something from the ground, fruit of the ground. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice. To come to God by faith, you must take God at his word. Apparently, God's word to them was the way you approach me is through a blood sacrifice. Do y'all see this, or do you understand what we're saying? That's what he's saying. God had already shown them. Abel comes by faith, brings an animal. Cain obviously is not coming by faith. He is not taking God at his word. We can almost see him saying, I'll bring what I want to. I'll do what I want to. God says, trust me, bring a blood sacrifice. Abel says, I come to God by faith. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to take him at his word. I bring a blood sacrifice. Cain says, I'll do what I want. This is good enough. It's good enough. I worked hard for this. It's good enough. All this is clearly showing that throughout the Old Testament sacrificial system, that's what it was. It was every time when people approached God, especially dealing with sin. Now, there were some sacrifices that weren't blood sacrifices. There were some sacrifices that had to do with meal and pouring out to something and everything. But any time there was a sacrifice dealing with sin, to come to God, it was a blood sacrifice. It was that aspect of it. One day in the future from this time, would one come who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is the one who would offer one sacrifice for sin forever, who is the one who would redeem us by the blood of the Lamb. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How can any human being ever approach God? The only way you can approach God is to come to God through the sacrifice that He has provided. And it wasn't a piece of fruit. It was His Son who shed His blood. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. So how can anybody approach God? It's through Jesus Christ that's done it all. 1 John chapter 1 talks about it. 1 John 14:6 talks about coming that way. You approach Him in salvation through blood. You approach Him as a believer through blood. Do you realize that? 1 John 1:7 says the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. He's talking about fellowship there. Keeps on cleansing us. Well, what's Cain's response to all this? What would you do? I mean, your brother, his younger brother anyway, you're the older one. You've been there longer. You know what's going on. Or at least you think you do. Now listen, God says at the end of days, at the end of the week, you bring me an offering. You come as an act of worship. And He says, I'm going to do what I want to do. This is good enough for me. But Abel says, you know, I'm going to do what God says because I'm going to approach God by faith. And He said, bring an animal sacrifice because that's the picture that He's already given us. And so I'm going to believe God. And He does that. And when God sees it, He says to Abel, I see that is a favorable offering. But to Cain, He says, that is not a favorable offering. Did you know that for years I approached God with an unfavorable, with many unfavorable offerings?
Do you think God looked on their hearts?
Well, of course He looked on their hearts.
He is with a loving heart. He came, didn't.
Well, it's true. But one approached by faith, but one didn't. But the bottom line of faith is taking God at His word. And what did He tell him to do? See, I approach God with unfavorable offerings all the time. I'd say to God, hey, I'm trying to live a good life for you. In fact, you like this. I know you will. Because, see, I'm trying to do a lot more good than bad. That's what I was bringing to God. Did He have favor with that? You know what He said? He said, your works are filthy rags. I'm sorry, I cannot accept that. In fact, I'm already satisfied. The offering has already been made for you, and it is my Son. See, the only way you're going to approach God is not on what you bring to Him based on your goodness, your works, your righteousness. You approach God based on the sacrifice that He has given, and that is His Son. It is a blood sacrifice that saves us. It is Jesus Christ. Now, what's going to be the response here? How did Cain respond? Verse 5 again, for his offering it had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Do you know what the Hebrew means, countenance fail? It means a mad face. Who do you think you are? You know what he's saying? Who do you think you are telling me what to bring to you? Who is he? He's God. He can tell you anything he wants to tell you, and he can tell you everything. It's always exactly right. And Cain said, I'm mad about this because this is what I want to bring, and this ought to be good enough for you. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, so Cain became very angry. Who is he angry at? You think he's angry at God? I think that's exactly right. I think he's both. I think he's angry at God, but who else is he angry at? His brother that made him look bad. I mean, if they'd both brought the wrong thing, they'd both be in trouble and they'd be okay. But one did good, one did bad. One brought the right thing by faith, one didn't come by faith. Now watch what God says to Cain. You know, God is so gracious. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they ran away and God came looking for them and he comes in the garden and he goes, where are you? Did he know where they were? Of course he could say, I see you. I see you right over there. I know everything about it. I see you. But he didn't. He just said, where are you? And they said, oh, we're over here. And have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat? Did he know? He knew everything. What does he want Cain to do? Look at his question. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? What he wanted Cain to say is, I'm angry because I'm in open rebellion against you, and I've disobeyed you, and I'm mad at you, and I'm mad at me, and I'm mad at my brother. That's why I'm angry. Why has your countenance fallen? Why do you have a mad face? Why are you so upset? Now watch what God tells him. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God is so gracious. Here is a man coming to God, not by faith, but by his own rebellion, by his own works, by his own stuff, and he puts it down to God, and God says, sorry, I don't accept that one. And he goes, I'm mad about it. God says, whoa, why are you so mad? Why is your face all upset? If you do what's right, you'll be happy again. And if you do what's wrong, sin is waiting to get you. He said, sin's crouching at the door and its desire is for you. Now, I'll give over details in just a second, but he says, if you do well, will your countenance be lifted up? He said, if you do what's right, you'll be a happy face. Everybody wants a smiley face. He said, if you do what's right, your face will be smiling. And if you do it, but if you don't do what's right, now what's he giving him the opportunity to do? He's giving him an opportunity to say, okay, I'll be right back. And he goes to go get an animal, and that's what he wanted him to do. I'll be right back. Let me go get something. I see what I've done. I wasn't thinking. I've got to do what you say. I mean, you're right. You're God. I've got to obey you. I've got to live by faith. But that's not what he did. He said, if you do what's right, you can have a happy face. If you don't do what's right, notice what he said. Sin is crouching at the door. Literally, it's waiting to jump on you. It's almost like he's saying, you're at this point where you could go back and everything could be okay because you could just go deal with it and bring me back the right thing and approach me by faith and everything's fine. But right now, that rebellion is waiting to get you. And then look what he goes on to say. Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. And this word desire literally in the Hebrew means to desire to control. He's saying that sin is desiring to control you. But you got to master it. You've got to have the victory. He's got a chance. It's the same with any of us. When we're being pulled by our flesh, we've been seeing in the book of Romans, listen, we don't have to yield to the flesh. We don't have to disobey God. We don't have to stay in a state of rebellion. We can deal with sin. We can have victory. And that's what God is telling him. Look, you blew it. But go back. You can do what's right. If you do what's right, you'll be happy. If you don't do what's right, sin is fixing to jump all over you. That's what's going to happen. Now, I love this. You know, Bart, what it says, its desire is for you. That word, Hebrew word for desire, which means to desire to control or desire to master, is only used two times in the whole Old Testament. And one is in chapter 3 of Genesis, and others in chapter 4. Do you remember in chapter 3 of Genesis where he's giving the curses and he says to the woman, and your desire will be for your husband and it will hurt to have babies? You remember that? And some people say, what's the big deal? How could that desire for your husband be a curse? That word doesn't mean that you'll sexually desire your husband. It's the same word as right here. It means you will desire to control your husband. That's exactly what part of the curse is. We'll talk about it in maybe more detail some other time. I know next week in my 2-2 class on Tuesday nights, that's exactly what we're going to deal with because we're looking at the fall. He's saying to Cain, sin is desiring to control you. But you're going to have to master it. You're going to have to master it. Well, what happened? Cain told Abel, his brother. Told him what? What do you think he told him? Do you think he went to his brother and said, I'm really mad at God. What's the matter? Well, I brought the best stuff from my field that I wanted to bring up there, and he didn't take it. He took yours, of course. Well, yeah, well, see, he said to come bring a blood sacrifice. You know that. Yeah, but I'm not listening to all of that. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. I'm going to tell you something that I think, based on 1 John 3. In 1 John chapter 3, it talks about how Abel killed his brother, and it talks about a knife that he used. And that word for knife there means a sacrificial knife. It would be a knife that you kill an animal with for a sacrifice. So the best that I can understand is that Cain used a sacrificial knife to kill his brother. Could you imagine that maybe Cain said, okay, you want a blood sacrifice? I'll get you a blood sacrifice. And it was his brother. You remember what happened after that? God came to Cain and said, by the way, where is your brother? He went, I don't keep up with my brother. It's not my job to keep up with my brother. The blood, notice what he said in Genesis, the blood of your brother cries to me from the ground. It was almost like Cain said, you want a blood sacrifice? I'll get you a blood sacrifice. It's not going to be what you want. Because see, he still does what he wants, not what God wants. Doesn't bring to God or come to God by faith. So Cain told his brother Abel, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up and against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Back to Hebrews 11. Why is it that Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain? Because Abel approached God how? By faith with a blood sacrifice. That's why it was better. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony he was righteous. Now, righteous, how does a person get righteousness? It comes by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. Later on in Genesis, it says, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. When the Bible talks about a person being righteous, it's talking about the fact that they have received God's righteousness, which comes by faith. And because he believed God and offered the better sacrifice than Cain, he obtained the testimony that he was a righteous person, that he was a person who believed God. And then the last part says, God testifying about his gifts, about what he had offered. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. What does he say to us? If you want to approach God, how do you come? Blood sacrifice. Now, God's made it very clear throughout all of history. What's the blood sacrifice that we must use to approach the living God? It's Jesus Christ. Died on the cross, shed his blood to payment for our sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Abel still speaks to us and says, you want to approach God? It's only one way. You come by faith, and you come by faith in the sacrifice that God has provided. And it's a blood sacrifice, and it's his Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, Abel approached God. By faith, we approach God with the blood sacrifice. What have we seen? We'll open up some questions in just a second. We've seen Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain. We saw that Abel came to God by faith, taking God at his word. We saw Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and he shows that all of us, that if we're going to come to God, we come by a blood sacrifice. I think I've got one application just to show you. We must come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He is the provision for mankind. He is the blood sacrifice. He is the the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's not by our works. It's not by our goodness. It's not by our actions. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy does He save us. The Ephesians passage says, by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift. The only way we can approach God is not through what we do, what we hope to do, what we try to do. We come to God based by what He has already done. He has provided the sacrifice. The sacrifice has shed the blood. We have been seen in the book of Hebrews. It's amazing how it stands out that we have a great high priest who offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. We have the sacrifice, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Both salvation and Christian life, all, we approach God by the blood of the Lamb. So what we want to do is we want to tell people that there's only one way to God. There's not many ways to God. There's not a God that that some parts of the world call Him one thing and some parts of the world call Him another thing and all this, and they all got different names and are just different ways to get to the same God. No, there's not. There's only one true God, and there's only one way to approach the living God, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. There's not the works that any human being has ever done or ever will do. There's not any of that which we can approach the God on, only through Jesus Christ and the fact that He is our sacrifice and Savior. That's all there is. That's why I think the Bible is clear from the beginning to the end. Jesus Christ, the King, the Lamb, the Savior, the sacrifice, is the only one by which we can have a relationship with God forever. May we approach God through Jesus Christ and then make known to others that the only way to come to God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We'll open up for questions. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths, and that, Lord, we just ask You that we think about this, that we know the only way to ever come to You is through Jesus Christ. And it's not through our works, our goodness, anything that we do. We must approach You by faith, because without faith it's impossible to please You. And we come by faith, but we come by faith in what You've told us. You have told us that You've sent Your Son to die in our place, that He is the final sacrifice, that He is the blood sacrifice, that He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we come to You by faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and You give to us eternal life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.